tonight. Yep, my call it, no, Brother Danny, love him. He'll be here singing tonight and playing that piano. He's wrote some beautiful songs since I saw him. He'll be with us tonight. He's gone down to Charlotte to preach this morning at Plaza Road Baptist, but he'll be back with us this evening in the service. So we got something real, real special planned tonight. None of the young people, you don't want to miss tonight's service. This is very important. Be here tonight. Bring somebody with you. Now, a couple things right quick. Thank you for praying. We had a real good revival in Kentucky. And I got home yesterday morning. Had some good services. Thank you for praying for me. And had a good trip way, way, way up in the mountains. We are planning our first youth trip of the summer, June 10th and 11th. As soon as school's out, leaving about 1:30, going up to Virginia. Some of y'all kids need to get signed up today. Today on the list, and we're going to make plans for transportation for 2-day youth revival, and they got a lot of special things planned, games, got a gymnasium and everything, going to have activities all day on Saturday night church, come home Saturday night. So we do have a van, the Bible Truth Baptist Church is letting us borrow for that weekend, so praise God for it, but it's almost full already, so. If a bunch is going, we'll have to get some more transportation. Anyway, we'll talk more about that after a while. But let's remind everybody that today, this weekend of Memorial Day, we honor our veterans. I saw in the news that they were in Marietta, Georgia. They had hundreds of little white crosses. And they were to the unknown soldiers. Didn't even know who was in those graves, but gave their lives fighting for their country. So we honor those men who bled, died, gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And we're going to sing a song in a little bit, and it'll be dedicated to the memory of our veterans. So we thank the Lord for that. Now, we'd like to welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. And if you guys come get our visitor's cards, we're going to pass out some visitor's cards right quick this morning. And if you fill this out, please, and drop it in the offering plate, we'd really appreciate it. And if this is your first time visiting with us today, so take off, Brother Ray. If you're first time visiting, raise your hand right quick, and you know several over here. Y'all fill these out and drop them in the offering plate. The first time you've been here, please get one of these, fill it out, and we appreciate that. It's good to have all of you here, wherever you're from. It's a real blessing. Now, that's Ron and Cindy Alcorn. Raise your hand over there, Brother Ron. You see that young couple right there? That is the folks that are now living in my mom's house. He's a preacher, and thank God for him. But visiting with us this morning, so we're glad you all come this morning. Yep. And we want you to make them welcome. And then others, if this is your first time visiting, we're really glad that you're here. We're really glad that you're here. Somebody passed up 75 churches coming here this morning, and I thank the Lord that you've made it here today. God bless you. All right. While we're doing that, we're going to have just a little time of fellowship. And we want to make everybody feel welcome, and so be friendly. The Bible says, he that's a man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly, that's what it says. So if you're snob, you know what, you ain't got no friend. So let's be friendly. Let's all stand right quick, turn around, and be friendly. Sunday school this morning, we were talking about all the tornadoes, the hail storms, all the crazy weather we've been having. Some people believe God's doing it. Some people believe it's just coincidence. Some people believe it's like, I don't know. I do know one thing. We've been blessed. God's been very good to us. I went to visit the restaurant yesterday. There were people sitting in there. Can't move. Can't get out of the chair. Sitting. That's their life. And I told the kids I brought to church this morning, I said, the Lord's been good enough to you. You can feel good. You got strength. You got health. You can laugh. You got an appetite. God's blessing you. I said, the Lord's been good to me. I tell you, it's a blessing this morning. Thank God. We live in a country, greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it's worth. So we want to sing a song for the Lord, you, and dedicate it to the memory of our members this morning. I've been blessed. I hope so much.
All of his love, it appears.
And they'll give us a song here in a minute, brother. Amen. Let's say everybody give this morning, honor the Lord. This is the fifth Sunday, and we'll have visitors here tonight, or sit here by the chapel, I'm sure. You want to be sure to be back. But let's everybody give. Let's honor the Lord. We're still praying for some folks who will be a monthly sponsor of a radio program. And if you got a radio off, you'll put one of those little envelopes. That'd be a blessing. We're getting a lot of response from it. A lot of response. There's people here today because of our radio ministry. So let's everybody give like we're supposed to. Honor God, and He'll bless you for it. Okay? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of giving. I'm glad that You made it possible in Your Word that we could give to Your work. Thank You for jobs. Thank You for our country that we live in. Thank You that we have food to eat and food in our and clothes on our back. I pray that You'd bless this offering this morning. Bless the gift and the giver. Those that don't have anything, pray You bless those that give, multiply, and meet the need we have. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Till the voice of a storm.
Right.
And if you hadn't had that ever happen to you, you will. Right. You're standing there alone now. Glad he comes between us and the storm.
Amen.
All right. Last Sunday morning, we had a lot of comments on the message that I preached last Sunday morning on depression and what the Bible says about it. It's rare for me to do something like that. But I thought if you what the Bible says, and they do have the CDs available if you want one and you were not here.
Right.
What the Bible says about the way out. And this morning I've got something completely different. I want you to take your Bible and open to 2 Kings chapter 4. The book of 2 Kings chapter number 4. Back way back there in the book of 2 Kings. And I'll read a story here in the Bible. Those first few chapters of 2 Kings are really just loaded with miracles by the prophet Elisha. And Elisha is one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. And he had a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. That was a great story. He followed Elijah around everywhere he went. And he always said, "Lord, I want what he's got." There's nothing wrong with following a man if the man is going the right direction. A lot of times we get accused of, "Oh, you're just following a man." Everybody's following some man. Some of the guys said, "Well, you're just following the Bible. The man wrote the Bible." He said, "Well, you're just following Charles Darwin. The man wrote at that too." And everybody's following somebody. You just better find out where they're going and if they know what they're doing. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's all right to follow the man if he's going the right way. So Elisha did that. Elisha followed Elijah. And he said, "Man, I don't know what you've got, but when you die, I'd like to have double what you've got." And Elijah looked at him and said, "Well," he said something like, "if you see me when the Lord takes me up, then you'll get it." So he said, "All right, I ain't leaving your side." And here where he went. They stopped at a convenience store. They went to a campground. I mean, it didn't matter where they went. Elijah was right there beside him. And sure enough, the chariot of the Lord came, took Elijah back to heaven. Elijah saw it, and a double portion of the Spirit came on Elijah. And if you'll check and count the miracles, the Lord used him to perform a double the amount of miracles that Elijah performed. Double portion. That's where you hear people use that expression. So I'm going to tell you a story about something Elisha did, was involved in, here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll look at verse number 38. Verse number 38. There's some good ones in the first part of chapter 4, but look at verse number 38. "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, 'Set on the great pot and seed pottage for the sons of the prophets.' And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered there a wild gourd in his lap full, and came and spread them into the pot of pottage. They knew them not." Hold your finger there, Jim. Just a second. Come out. Here's where we're at. He said there's a family. They ain't nothing to eat. Go get that big pot. They bring in this great big pot. This pot, like a big iron pot, like you see them in on the circuit thing, one of them great things like that. He said, "All right, go out there and gather some, get them." They went out there and started picking stuff like this, and pick that leaf there, pick up. Them don't grow back, did it? Should have done that. And they started putting them in there, like that stuff that growing by my house up down there we eating the other day, and it's nothing but poison ivy all the way down through there. And I was in it, had my hands in it, wiped my legs, sweat before I even realized it. And I said, "Lord, don't let that kill me in my eyes." And it didn't. So praise the Lord for that. But anyway, they started putting it in that pot. They started putting it in there. Didn't matter what it was. Just don't forget that. It didn't matter what it was or what time they broke it out of.
they could not eat that. What the meat was, poison. Killing us. Whatever you put in there, I got a bellyache. I'm about to die. I mean, you're going to call the ambulance. Come get me. But he said, then bring meal. Meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Now, I want to preach on that story this morning. And the title of the message is Death in the Pot. Elisha was the great contemporary of Elijah the prophet, except with a double portion of his spirit. This is the story where there was a great famine in the land. I was talking about that famine in the land. They didn't have anything to eat. There have always been famines. Ever since there have been people on earth, there have been famines. There's always terrible ones in India. There are India in England, in China, in the first century, Japan, 1700, Asia, 1800, China, Russia, all of those countries have experienced famine. Some of their own do it. Like India, for example, there are lots and lots of people starving to death in India, and still are today. And one of the reasons they're starving in India is because of their religion. They believe that they have cows. There's enough cows in India to make steakhouses. But they won't eat them because they're afraid that might be their grandmas or grandma. But they believe that your dead relatives come back and reincarnate and become a cow. I don't know about you, but if I lived there, I'd just say, well, we believe in survival of the fittest. Cut the grandma up and put her on the table. And we'll have steak for supper. But anyway, that'd be a bad thing to believe. They believe that rats are sacred. They believe that cows are sacred. And the rats eat the grain and the people starve to death. Famine is a terrible thing. Famine is something we don't know nothing about here in this country. Most Americans don't know what it's like to even be hungry. But we feel like before we get active, we're like skeletons in gas tank. When it gets down to the quarter tank, something fills up again. That's the way we do our bellies here in this country. We don't know what it's like to be hungry. I can tell by looking at most of you folks, we don't know what it's like to be hungry in this country. Amen?
Amen.
We don't know. But in other countries, they have famines. They have famines and it's awful. They have famines where they eat cats and dogs and mice. I've seen people in Haiti and their little kids sitting there and with their bellies swelled out, picking the bugs off each other's heads and eating the bugs. I've seen people when missionaries would bring fields and pictures where they were being literally starving to death. That's a terrible shit to be in, famine, when there's absolutely nothing to eat. The Bible talks about during the tribulation period, there will come a time when it said a measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley for a penny. There will be famines come on this earth again during those dark days that are ahead. There was a famine in the land. Now that's a picture this morning of a spiritual famine that we're in. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you this morning, we are in a day spiritually of famine. When the words of the Lord is rare to hear. There are more churches and more Bible and more religion in America than we've ever had before, and yet we are experiencing a greater spiritual famine than we've ever seen in this country. I mean, it's hard to find. People tell me, they say, preacher, I went on vacation and I stopped at this church and there was nothing there. And I stopped at that church and there was nothing there. And I stopped at that church and there was nothing there. And it's hard to find somebody at a church where you can get fed from the Scripture. There's a famine in the land. It's hard, it's few and far between that you find churches where you get your soul fed. There's a famine in the land. There was a famine. And the Bible said there's going to come a day when the Lord said, I'll be a famine in the land, not of bread, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Brother, we are living in that day. Many people have, a full body, but an empty soul. Do you know that? We have people that, this is Memorial Day weekend. And we ought to be thanking God for our country and honoring God. Every church ought to be full this morning. Every church ought to be full of people saying, God's been good. He knows me from somewhere. I don't know how he knows me from tape, from the internet or something. And he came, and they sat there in the service, and the pastor got up. And he said, it sure is good to have Brother so-and-so and his wife here with us this morning. And he turned to find out, he said, today is their wedding anniversary. 18th wedding anniversary. He said, how long have you been married? They said, 18 years. They brought some kids to every preach Friday night. And I got to feel about that. His wife just smiled and looking at him like that. And I thought, boy, I know some ladies.
Come on, preacher.
Right. I said, have y'all eaten or have food at the church? They said, we stopped at McDonald's or something on the way. Here is 18th anniversary. He takes the giving of kids 2 hours to church and eats at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And she just smiled and said, praise the Lord, it's so great to be. She's happier than you brats.
Right.
Right. It's our anniversary. You better take me to the Bahamas. You better spend at least $1,000 on me. I don't know if you were $1,000. I mean, maybe you are. You see how spoiled we are in this country. We think, well, it's spoiled, and we ain't going to church. We're going to live. Listen, God's been good to us in this country. And you know what? It's like a kid. The better he is to us, the meaner we are. Ain't that the truth? The better God is to us, the meaner we are. The less we appreciate. Ain't that the way it is? The more you give somebody, the less they appreciate it. And I know this guy, Marion. He had 6 cars by the time he was 22 years old. His mom and dad bought him a brand new Honda Accord. And he never changed the oil. Had 90,000 miles on it, never changed the oil. It looked like a pig pen inside. And he finally wrecked it. You know why that guy didn't appreciate it? Because it was handed to him. It was handed to him. I'll guarantee if he had to make about 3 years of them payments, he'd change the oil in that thing. I mean, you want it to last just as long as you can. And that's the way we are. We're spoiled. And there's a famine in this country today of the hearing of the words of the Lord. There's a famine in the land. But I want to say secondly this morning, there were directions for relief. There were directions for relief. They come to the prophet, and they said, man, we ain't got nothing to eat. What are we going to do? And they at least had enough sense to know where to go. They didn't go to the politician, they went to the prophet. Amen? They didn't go to the psychiatrist, they went to the prophet. They said, what are we going to do? And the prophet said, take that big old pot, set it on that fire, and we're going to get a fire going. Boy, that'll freeze, won't it? He said, take that big pot and set it on the fire, and we're going to get. He said, the first thing we got to do is get a fire going.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Boy, I'm telling you, most churches have no clue what a fire is. A spiritual fire. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Brother Danny, I went on vacation. I went to a church. They said, oh, my goodness, it was awful. They said, it was so boring. I thought I'd die before I got out of there. You could have heard a pin drop. I mean, Dr. Jack Frost stood up here and the icicles ripped off his clothes while all the snowmen froze to death. They said, there was no blessing. You know what Elisha said? Build a fire. Build a fire. You know what churches need today? We need some fire, folks. I'm not talking about a bunch of put-on stuff. I'm not talking about a bunch of emotional, fleshly stuff. I'm talking about the fire of God in the Holy Ghost. The real thing. We need a fire. You know what got me saved when I was 18 years old? There's a fire burning at Nebo Baptist Church. It wasn't talent. It wasn't a man's ability to preach. It wasn't his education. It wasn't music. It was a fire. You know what Elisha said? He said, if we're going to get help, put the pot on the fire. Set a fire. Set a fire. You realize this morning, if I went to a lot of churches and done what I'm doing right now, it might set a fire and it might get me thrown out the parking lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the two. We talked to a lady one time up the street, and I said, ma'am, would you please come to our church? She said, I want to ask you one question. I said, what's that? She said, do you yell when you preach? I said, which is a dumb question. What a dumb question to yell. Duh. Do you move when you walk? Of course you yell when you preach. That's the definition. Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up my voice like a what? A trumpet, and show my people their truth.
Promise me that you'll read this. And
They got some old redneck guy up there that didn't have nothing to say. You know what I was with? Same time there was every book I could. He said, well, you got to promise me you'll read it first. He said, I'll smoke it. What is that? He said, you give me that thing of Indian pages up there, I'd roll those things up. Make me cigarettes out. Yeah, I said, well, I'll give it to you if you'll read it before we smoke it. God promised. You read the first page of Matthew, turned it out, rolled him up a joint, smoked it. Second page of Matthew, he said, that's horrible to even think about, man, smoking.
Right.
He smoked up Matthew, smoked up Mark, smoked up Luke. And when he turned to John 3:16, man, that's the truth. They said, it's the truth. I give you the preacher's name. Come with this story.
Hey.